May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, thy strength and my redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We've talked a bit this season already about sort of this life in between. We are liturgically still in between Easter and Ascension. At a bigger level, we are between our Lord's first and second coming. And for each of us, on a personal level, we are somewhere between our baptism and our death. One way to think about this in between is sort of where the two come together. Some call this the already and the not yet. You can think about this in terms of time. You have history, what has already happened, what has already been revealed, what we have evidence for, what has been seen. Then you have the future, what has not been seen, what has not been revealed, what has not yet come to pass. And where these two come together is the present. This is the place that we inhabit, between the seen and the unseen. You can think about this too at the level of our very constitution. We, human beings, are body and soul, seen and unseen. The body seen, the soul unseen, and where these two come together, there you have a human person. I think God has made us to sort of exist and minister and bear witness to God's glory right at this intersection of seen and unseen. Our gospel text this morning takes us back to before our Lord's passion. He is teaching the disciples and tells them, "It is better for you that I go away, because if I don't go away, then the Comforter will not come unto you." And if you're like me, maybe this is a bit puzzling on the surface. To be clear, what our Lord is not saying here is that somehow the Holy Ghost is better than the Son. That's not what he's teaching, that God the Spirit is better than God the Son. That's not the point here. It is very good indeed that our Lord came and took on flesh and dwelt among us, and that the disciples could see him and touch him and hear him and see his ministry. That is very good indeed. But it is better for them, he tells the disciples, and now us through his eternal word. It's better for us that we learn to be comforted by the unseen as well. This is not a teaching just unique to this one passage. We see this in several other examples. Consider Mary, who sits outside the empty tomb weeping. And in the tomb, she sees two angels. They ask her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She says, "Well, I've come to see my Lord, and he's not here." She looks up and sees one who she assumes to be the gardener, the one who keeps the grounds, doesn't recognize this person. He asks her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She said, "I've come to see my Lord. And if you've moved his body, could you at least please tell me where you've put it so that I can go and minister to him?" And our Lord responds to her, "Mary." And in a moment, she knows this is her king. This is her master. And you see this moment, sort of Mary running to greet and embrace our Lord in joyful celebration. The tomb is empty. My king is risen. And our Lord's response to her is a bit strange. "Don't touch me now. Don't cling to me now. I have to go to my Father in heaven. You go to the disciples." In other words, don't cling to what you see right before you. Don't cling only to what you see with your eyes in the flesh. I want you to learn how to cling also to what you do not see, to trust me through both what you see and what you don't. Similarly, for St. Thomas, our Lord appears to the disciples after his resurrection, for whatever reason, Thomas is not present. And so they tell him, "The Lord appeared to us, the Lord is risen," to which anyone in their right mind would say, "Truly, he is risen. The Lord is risen indeed." This is not what Thomas says. He says, "I don't buy it. I won't believe it until I can see him and touch him." Well, 8 days later, Thomas gets his wish. Thomas is with the disciples, and the Lord appears to them. He says, "Thomas, draw near, see me, touch me, and believe." Thomas does so. And our Lord tells him, "You believe because you've seen. Blessed are they who have not seen and believe." I think all of these things are sort of circling around the same idea. It is very good that you have seen. You've seen evidence of God working in your life and in the world around us, bringing healing and reconciliation and goodness. But what about in those ways that you don't see him? What about where his glory is not yet revealed? Is he just as treasured to you in those occasions, in light of those realities? Our Lord wants us to learn to trust him and to embrace him through what we see and what we do not see. He wants us to remember that these gifts around us are very good. Our bodies are very good indeed. They give us a way to perceive the world around us, to enjoy God's good creation. But if that is all we cling to, we've missed at least half of it. It is very good that our Lord took on flesh and dwelt among us. It is good that our Lord revealed God's glory through his incarnational ministry. But it's better for us that we learn also to trust him through what we have not seen. In a different word, the way to think about this trusting in things that you do not see, this clinging to reality that is not visible, is faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what we're talking about. Faith. Having hope for things that have not come to pass, that you do not see. This is the posture of the sacramental life, trusting God that through visible signs and symbols, he is imparting invisible realities. We could go down each of the sacraments, but we'll do one just as an example, one we don't talk about much. The sacrament of holy unction, anointing, healing. In this sacrament, the church professes by nature of the sacrament itself that we exist as seen and unseen, as body and soul. And yet these two realities are so inextricably linked that when one is hurting, when one is suffering, when the body is afflicted, so too is the soul. The soul is weakened. And so we apply holy oil to anoint the body for the sake of the soul. The body is afflicted. We anoint the body that the soul may receive strength. And sometimes, miraculously, when that anointing happens, the body is healed. Soul is strengthened and body is weak. Soul is strengthened and body is strengthened all in one moment. And that is glorious. Sometimes it takes a bit of time before the strengthening of the soul ripples out and affects the strengthening of the body. And then sometimes, perhaps most of the time, we anoint the body, God gives strength and grace to the soul, but we see no effect. There's no visible effect on the body that we can look at and say, "Look, there's healing. This thing did what it was supposed to do." And yet, by faith, we believe that God is at work in his sacraments, giving strength to the soul of his faithful. I'll give another example. Perhaps you've heard it before, but it's a good one, so I'll do it again. In a few moments, we will sing together the Sanctus. Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. We will do that together here as a visible choir that's assembled. We can look around and see the mouths of people moving. We can hear the noise that they're making with whatever part of the body that happens in. We're making up a visible choir here on earth, and everything that is around us in this room will be oriented towards the worship of God. And yet through the words we say together, heaven and earth are full of thy glory, we are professing this is not all that there is. There's more going on here than meets the eye. We join not just with a visible choir of those around us, but with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify his glorious name. This choir that we are participating in is not merely seen. It's also unseen. This is how we praise God. This is the choir in which we praise God. This is the reality in which we live. Our world is seen and unseen. And we live in the place where the two of those meet. And we testify to this reality that our world is seen and unseen, that God is bringing healing, and he's reconciling the world to himself through Christ in ways that we can see, and praise God for that, and in many more ways that we cannot see or cannot yet see. And we praise him for that as well. So I invite you this morning to come and to worship the true King of heaven and earth, who is reconciling our whole world, seen and unseen, to himself in the person of Christ. Come worship him and receive him. Receive grace, receive mercy in ways that are seen and unseen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.